Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Hackalootin' Speed Bump Podcast. This is number 34. Now, today, it is your friendly and lovely hosts, Mario and Brian. Mario, what's going on, dude?
Not much. It's like the day after a holiday. We saw a nice movie last night. It's like that was like Christmas, and now we're kind of chilling out here.
Yeah, we went and saw the new Warren Miller film, Chasing Shadows, last night, and it was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was a good time.
That was good.
We'll get into that more later on because that is our topic of the day. So thank you guys so much for listening. And if you want to get more information, you can check us out at skibumpodcast.com. There you can find the link to check us out on iTunes. So please subscribe and rate us there. Check us out on Facebook /skibumpodcast and on Twitter @skibumpodcast. And if you want to send us an email, skibumpodcast@gmail.com. Mario, what time is it?
It is time for the weekly flavor.
Ooh, that sounds a little bit different today, doesn't it?
Sounds a little better.
Yeah.
We got a new little setup. We're upgrading as we go along.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so weekly flavor this week. Why don't we start with you, Brian? What are you drinking today?
Ooh, so, you know, I'm going back to a classic from a few weeks ago. Ooh, you hear it pop? That's a can. It's the Lilikoi Kepolo, which is a delicious Belgian-style white ale brewed with spices and passion fruit from Avery Brewing in Boulder, Colorado. Now, you're probably thinking, well, Brian, that sounds like a very summery beer. Well, dear listener, the problem is it was like 75 degrees out today in November 6th.
Definitely not ski weather.
It's goddamn ridiculous. It's like just friggin' like sweaty gym shorts outside. It's just humid and stinky and awful and unwanted. Axl Rose sang Cold November Rain. It's goddamn warm, shitty November rain.
Yeah.
And I want no part of it. I'm done with this.
It's like springtime again.
Oh, it's just like the worst.
Yeah.
It's like we've been like the summer like is cock-blocking us.
It's like climbing up some stairs and then getting put back to the bottom of the stairs. Like we just didn't, I thought we were there. We're at the top.
It's like a video game with like a glitch.
Yeah.
Oh,
damn it.
Yeah, so we're reverting back to summer beers because frankly, it's summer again. Apparently.
Yeah, but that's refreshing.
Allegedly, it's going to be 2 days of this. It's going to be over by like, it's going to be back in the 30s for the lows on Sunday. So
Ned Stark is not turning in his grave. He's saying that shit's still coming.
It's like, come on, man.
Come on, man.
It's like winter is coming, but it had to take a piss. It went to like the rest area.
Mother Nature gets a come on, man.
Yeah, winter's taking a piss. Had to stop at the rest area. Get a probably like some pizza and some, go to the Fiexens bar, Roy Rogers.
Fiexens.
Get some Fiexens. So
cool.
That's what I got. How about you? What are you drinking?
So it's a very strange name. It's the Kimmy, the Yink, and the Holy Ghost. Anderson Brewing Company. It's a strange brewed beer. So I looked up, like, what do they really consider this? They actually said originating the style in the town of Goslar, Germany, in the early 16th century, the Ghost style was traditionally brewed using salt water and 50% malted wheat spiced with coriander and hops.
Huh.
So it's a very strange, it almost tastes like a Festina Pesh, the dogfish, but without the fruity flavor of the, was that peach? So this is just, it has like a soury.
It's like a bitter style beer.
Yeah, it's like a sourish beer, fruit forward kind of sour beer, but it's pretty good. It's definitely different. You have that. It's almost like Brian and I were talking about. It's almost like a palate cleanser. Like you have that, and then you go back to like a regular IPA. You're like, wow, this IPA tastes so great.
It's so sweet and delicious. Yeah,
you're like whoa. But it's definitely strange. I wouldn't say it's bad. I wouldn't say it's good. It's just very different, and I could see drinking it with certain types of food because they actually, on the website I was looking at, they recommend certain types of food to have with it, and I could see it being like a, yeah, I could see it, having it with food.
Nice.
But 4.2%, so it's very low alcohol.
Nice and light.
Yeah.
Share with the kids.
Yeah, kids can, sippy bottle, sippy cup.
It works. That'll work. Keep them quiet. Put them to sleep.
Sippy cup, you don't mind diapers coming to your,
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah. All right, so we have a couple of follow-ups this week. First one, so a few weeks ago, actually it was probably a couple months ago, we did an episode on ski etiquette. And this is it's kind of an older article, but it was, I re-brought to our attention, and it's on ski-transfers.com. It was an infographic of the ultimate guide to ski etiquette. So it's a really cleverly drawn, I guess, or animated infographic of a ski etiquette guide, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked it. It reminded me of like Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Or almost like the claymation one, the Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, like that.
Was it Frosty? No, Rudolph.
Oh, Rudolph, yeah.
Rudolph, yeah.
Like, and that, they use clay, yeah, they use clay, and this is like paper, but it's pretty cool style.
Yeah, it's really neat. So, like, one of the first things, it says, like, share with a stranger. So, like, when you're on the chairlift, you know, so avoid going up as a single person, which people always do in Vermont. They're always so courteous. Don't smoke on the chairlift.
Oh. I think I was only on a chairlift one time when somebody was smoking, and we were looking. I'm like, dude, we're going to push you off. And they put it out.
You have really good weed and you're sharing.
Well, yeah.
If it's legal, of course.
But you're usually not doing it around other people. You know what I mean?
This is true.
Generally.
This is true. They don't call it the gondola for nothing, though.
Yeah.
Do learn the ropes. If this is your first rodeo, please, for the love of all that is good in the world, get a lesson.
Yeah.
That's an important one.
That's a safety thing.
And don't let one of your dumb friends tell you to go to the top of the mountain and you'll figure it out.
Just start at the top. You'll get down eventually. Yeah, maybe in a sled. That's the problem.
Especially before lunch, because people who want to help you are getting really hungry and don't want to help you. And we'll go to the bottom and have lunch and maybe see you coming down in a sled 20 minutes later.
We'll be down at the bottom. We'll wait for
you. Allegedly. This may have happened. Don't let your mind write checks that your body can't cash.
Yeah, that's our so one of the mantras that we follow is KIT, keep it together.
Keep it together.
Keep it together. Keep it together.
That's the key, yep. But push yourself, you know? Freak yourself out a little bit, but don't
push
go
yourself,
too crazy.
Keep that shit together.
This one, I'm not sure I can agree with. Do dial back the bro speak.
It depends if you over bro speak. If you're over broing it, then it gets a little like, okay, who are you trying to be?
You're trying too hard at that point. Yeah. I guess I can kind
of get
on board.
If it's part of your normal dialogue, then it's expected. Then you're that dude. But you can't just, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Do give the right of way. Again, something people always do in the Northeast. Do help others. That's also a very kind thing to do. And
unless they're your friends, and sometimes you spray them and laugh at them.
And take a few pictures.
Take some pictures.
Yeah.
Try to bury them in snow, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and this is a big one. I like this one a lot. Don't be that guy. And the picture, it's funny, like the picture has the two little skier people, and it says, this would totally be a blue run in the Rockies. Everybody hates that guy. And then do keep your speed under control. At times, you got to just open it up, see what you can do.
Control so that you don't kill anybody else or yourself. That's about it.
That's true.
That's the control you're looking for. So.
Yeah. This is a huge one, too. Do not stop in the middle of the slope.
Yeah.
This isn't the mall. You can't just stop and take selfies. Get out of the goddamn way. People will get run over.
Yeah. People want to jump down and just... They want to bomb down the run, so don't stand in the middle.
Yeah.
Then again, the good snow is sometimes on the side, so...
Mm-hmm. Do take weather reports with a pinch of salt. I like that one.
Between... We'll sit in the morning watching the weather report. We're like, they're freaking lying, man.
Yeah. Oh, God. The ski reports. Yeah. There's like 6 or 7 inches of fresh pow up here, man. It's like, there's not.
Like, there's a little, it's a little bit damp out today. Like, no, it's freaking pouring
rain. Yeah. It's a little bit windy out. And see the guy's like, just hair is like sideways. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, do have fun. That's an important one. You know, that's why we're all up there, we're all outside, we're all doing this, because it is a great time.
Yeah.
And this one is a little bit weird, the last one. Do get dressed up in something fancy. I guess this is more of like an après thing. Wearing your nicest clothes to the soiree is the thing to do. Reminding everyone you talk that your watch costs $1 squillion or your dress had to be shipped from Milan isn't. So I don't really understand that. Huh. Last one. I think it's by like a...
Dress your ski gear, but not your going out gear?
I think afterwards, like, you gotta, like, dress up and be nice if you're going out.
See, après-ski, this is the whole thing. Everybody thinks après-ski. There are people that go, and I get frustrated because they go and they change and they shower, and then they go out and they think they're après-skiing. Like, no, once you take those boots off and once you change like that, you've nullified après-ski. You're going to happy hour. That's a different story.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing.
I mean, you really shouldn't be leaving the mountain to operate. That's technically.
Some places you have to. Some places are a little bit dumb and closed. But
as long as you kind of go out, you know, it's fine to change your boots maybe, depending where you are, if you're like skiing, ski out or something like that. Yeah, I could understand it. But full shower and change, yeah, that doesn't.
Once your ski pants come off, Then you're it's no longer après.
Like, you could still go and have a good time and say you're going to happy hour or going out for drinks, but you can't, you just nullify the après ski
label. Agreed. Completely agree.
It's my rule. It's my rule.
I like it. The rules you live by. And then one more quick follow up. So, Auntie Leanna's cake ball kick. Cake ball.
Yeah.
That is what it is. I was thinking kickball, but you know why? Because it's cake ball Kickstarter. I'm thinking kickball.
Yeah.
You know? Auntie Leanna's cake ball Kickstarter was funded.
Yeah.
So, she was looking a little bit short when we reported last time.
Yeah. So, basically, we funded this and we helped fund it. She was, I think it was like 8 hours left and she was still not funded. And
then, a couple grand, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot. It was like $9,000 or something. So
sugar daddy came in.
I don't know. Within the last few hours, she had a lot of gift giving going on. So,
yeah.
But yeah. So we tweeted out and posted to Facebook. We want to find out what people like for cake balls. You know, but we picked our cake balls that we're gonna get. So we're gonna reveal that now, and
ooh,
we can start with the first one, Brian.
First one, the dark chocolate rose.
Nice. Mm. And where are we getting that?
In January.
That's not awesome.
Now, I think one of the reasons we chose this one is because it was shipping in January.
Yeah. We can't wait. We can't wait that long.
Because the bourbon bacon ones, they were coming out in the summer, weren't they?
No. The only bourbon... So there are other cake balls that weren't on there. So, yeah. I got to look and see.
That wasn't part of the package that we...
Yeah. The only bourbon one that was on there, we'll get to that.
Oh.
But then in June, strawberry basil. Sounds pretty good, right? Refreshing.
Strawberry basil, yeah.
Nice. And then the last one, bourbon cranberry spice. So this is in October, which is actually a good time. You're getting a little frosty, a little cooler, you know what I mean?
Not if you count this November 77 degree stupid ass weather we have today.
I know, but if it should be 50
like
degrees,
sweaty
60 degrees,
underwear, gym shorts, freaking sweaty disgustingness. That's what it's like outside.
Nice.
Walking into like your boss's sweaty gym underwear.
Nice, very nice.
Yeah, that's a happy picture for you.
Oh. So you can check out our goodies at AntieLeanna's.com. And on there, which I noticed, I got to do some research. So I told Brian, probably going to be ordering some stuff soon to get a little happier with the food before we podcast. But she has some tipsy treats, which are like alcohol-based sweet items.
Oh, really?
So I think there's some bourbon stuff in there. So I got to look through that.
Bourbon plays very well with dessert.
Yeah.
You ever done like bourbon whipped cream?
No.
I've like made my own. I forget what it was for. If it was for like a...
Your birthday, Andrea did a bourbon whipped cream, didn't she?
Yeah. I mean, dude, whipped cream is like all it is heavy cream with sugar and vanilla, and you just blend it.
Nice.
Or whip it with like a mixer, and you pour bourbon in it, and it's so good.
Yeah.
I think we had it on like key lime pie or something, or cheesecake or something that it was unnecessary for, but so good.
So good.
Yeah.
And then there's the whipped lightning, which is...
Whatever happened to that stuff?
I don't know.
I want to know if like kids got their hands on it and they had to like take it off the market.
Whipped Lightning and Four Loko.
So for those who aren't in the know, Whipped Lightning is this, you know, like the Ready Whip, the aerosol whipped cream. It was kind of like a non-dairy version of that with grain alcohol.
Yeah. And they actually had to go through some technology to actually make it. Because, you know, with the alcohol, it wouldn't whip up. So they actually probably added something that was really bad for you, that which is why you can't find it anymore.
Yeah, every article that I see right now are from, like, 2010. So it must have been, like, a thing.
Or it was a fad. I mean, it's great for Jell-O shots.
Yeah, it was something. Like, we had it with Jell-O shots, and it was relatively tasty. But it's also something that you can just see getting yourself into a lot of trouble if you really wanted to.
It had a little alcohol taste.
Yeah, that one company had like, there was a couple different brands that made it, but there was Whipped Lightning and then there was another one. It was like Cream, it was called like Creme or something. And I think I still have like 3 or 4 cans in our liquor cabinet. And wow. It just congeals and gets really weird over time.
Oh,
and,
does it?
Oh, it gets nasty left in there. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, how do we? Oh, because the boozy treats that
there are different flavors too. There's like chocolate and vanilla and strawberry and amaretto, and I could see a use for
amaretto
that.
Could be really good. Yeah,
a little coffee.
So yeah, so check out Auntie Liana's, AuntieLiana.com if you want to get more information and maybe order up some goodies. And mention that the ski bums, the highfalutin ski bums sent you over there. And yeah. Maybe you'll get something special because of that. Probably not, but maybe.
But it'll be baked with love.
Always baked with love. All right, so we got some ski news. So, as we've been complaining about already, that's super hot and very unwintery here. Here in the lovely Northeast. But the West Coast is getting pounded with some snow. So over at Snowbrains, they've been pretty on top of this, and they've been reporting that, I think it was today or yesterday, Colorado, all over Colorado, is getting an inch of snow an hour. So there was a nice little run there where they were getting tons and tons of snow. So all over the place, they're reporting it out there, which is great. Also, Jackson, they got 6 to 8 inches, and I think a total of 2 feet over the last week. And I think they're officially open. I don't even know exactly if they are.
Bam.
Valley floors are only getting 1 to 3. But the actual mountain itself, they've gotten 27 inches so far on the mountain.
Wow.
So I don't know if they're actually open or not. Probably should have researched that. That would have been a good move. But, they haven't gotten much yet. But in California, they seem to be getting the most snow. So Mammoth, they opened yesterday, and they had a great powder day to open it up. Their snowpack is already at like 750% of what it usually is at this time. So the Tahoe area in general, not exactly Mammoth. So California is finally getting what they've been jonesing for a couple of years now. Finally getting some big snow, which is great to see.
Big snow.
So if you guys have been out there or heading out there, let us know what it's like, how good it's been. And hit us up. Let us know, because we love hearing about people's awesome ski adventures this time of year when we're all getting fired up, getting excited for what's just around the corner.
Yeah, now we play the waiting game, see when everything starts opening.
Yep. So, so snow is falling finally, and I think there's a big cold front coming in soon this way. So Killington, which was the first to open in the U.S., is looking for a little bit of help getting the temperature down and starting to blow more snow so they can reopen soon.
Yeah, we had a lot of good... We had a good start, and then it got warm. We just got that warm spot.
And then the remnants of that big hurricane that hit Mexico kind of rolled through last week, too. And
that killed
that it. That just dumped all over everything.
Oh.
So yeah. Snow is falling.
Next, we got the face of America's oldest ski shop. So it's a ski shop in Littleton, New Hampshire. So Lahoots Country Clothing and Ski Shop. They're saying since 1920. So it's a pretty iconic place, a good hangout for people. And they say there's a 93-year-old local legend, Joe Lahoot, stopped skiing at 90.
That's so awesome.
When he started it in 1940. Isn't that wild?
That's so crazy. Yeah, they're saying that 4 generations of the family have run that ski shop over time. And I guess they're right on the edge of the White Mountains. So they're really close to, you know, Mount Washington, which, I mean, there's bits you can ski there if you really, really want to, but there's no real trails or anything.
Well, the neat thing is, right, TGR, they did a...
they did a special about it, right?
Special about him, so, about Joe, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess he lives there, and, you know, it's really cool, too, seeing something like that, because right now, you know, the store has been around for, what, since the 1920?
1920.
4 generations, and people are still there supporting that community shop. And that's really cool, because right now, you know, it's so easy just to go online, you go to wherever, you order it, it shows up. And, you know, there is something that is awesome to that, and that's, you know, the way things are moving towards. But it is still really cool seeing these local shops, these old school places, which, you know, people still want to support, and who have all this knowledge and experience through the people who work there who can help you out, you know, and who can get you the right thing. Because anybody can go online and go, oh, this is on sale, I'll just buy this, you know? And well, isn't necessarily the right thing. You know, a lot of times it's not. You're not getting what you need. But when you talk to somebody and you get their, you know, get the real story and talk about what you need, what you want, what you do, it's a big difference.
Yeah. Well, we like hanging out at our ski shop with, Hino's. And those guys in there, they know their stuff. And we don't have to do the research because they've done it and they've spoken to all the reps to get the lowdown on it, you know, so it helps them do research. So it's kind of like you get that knowledge that you don't even have to worry about, you know, they're doing it for you. So
it's almost like, you know, it's better than getting any sort of like guarantee or warranty, because, you know, these are the people that this is their job, this is their life, this is what they do, you know, like let them be the experts in what they are and reap the benefits of that expertise.
A lot of good stuff out of that.
Yeah, it's cool. So next up. So this is a pretty cool thing that we saw. There is a new Kickstarter that we found called Trivia Lift.
This looks awesome, by the way.
This is really cool. So this is from a couple of crew members from Canadian Cash Cab, which I know we kind of mentioned that before. So Cash Cab was that show where you'd hop in this random taxi cab and they'd be asking you questions and you could win money. So this is Trivia Lift, which is kind of in the same vein. So it's currently seeking funding to shoot and produce a pilot episode with the hopes of being picked up for its first season. The ultimate goal is to become the next quality game show American households value and enjoy. So Trivia Lift will provide the viewers a well-crafted, fun, and structured quiz show in some of the most picturesque mountain environments on planet Earth.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like Cash Cab.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So it shows it on the website. It talks about how does it work. And they show you can, I guess you have the ability to come up with one answer from your lift.
Yeah.
And as you get further up the lift towards the end, there's a higher value on the answers. Tougher right. questions, and you get more money.
Kind of like Cash Cab they did, like where you get towards the end of your trip, they get progressively harder.
It's very similar, yeah.
But the help is nice.
Yeah, the help was cool.
Yeah.
You can ask a lift or another lift, another chair.
You get what is it, a forward yell or a backward yell from the lift, and then you get a side yell for another help, like under certain situations. And then if the lift stops, you get like a multiple choice or something like that. Like there's all these different rules. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I think the best thing, though, is if you get three answers in a row wrong, you have to do the lift of shame. They make you go to the top and then stay on the lift and go all the way back down.
That's awesome.
That's pretty funny. So, yeah, I'm not sure if it's officially on Kickstarter yet. They're saying coming in November, and it is November, so it should be on there soon. So keep an eye out for that, and you can check out their website, trivialift.com, to get more details and to sign up for more updates.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Ski Vermont presents. So Brian found this. It's a really cool promo video, I guess Ski Vermont did. And if anybody knows Drunk History, they get somebody, they get them hammered, and then they ask them to give their interpretation of how stuff came about in history. And it's usually funny as hell. I think the show was on, you know, one of the networks.
It was on Comedy Central, wasn't it? I think it was originally Funny. Was it originally Funny or Die, like online?
I don't remember.
And then Comedy Central did it?
I think Comedy – yeah, they do the Drunk History.
Yeah.
So they did Drunk History of Skiing in Vermont, and it's a funny as hell video. And they're talking about the person who created the first ski lift, which I guess was in Vermont. And this guy creates this whole drunken story of it is pretty funny to watch. You got to watch the video because it's just that's how the show is, and it was a great promo for Vermont.
I've only watched one episode of A Drunk History.
Yeah.
And the guy who was drunk talking was Badger from Breaking Bad.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
That's funny stuff.
All right, so our topic this week, we're calling this episode We Chased Shadows.
Yeah.
So yesterday, we went to the premiere of the new Warren Miller movie, Chasing Shadows, at the Mayo Pack in Morristown, New Jersey.
Motown.
And this is our first Warren Miller film that we went to go see live. Not live, obviously, but the first one we got to actually see in a theater, not just
usually, you know, we watch TV, them
box, DVD, whatever. And it was a cool experience. Now, if any of you know the Morristown, New Jersey area, it is it's an opulent sort of area. I mean, I guess too, you're talking, it's a ski crowd. It's not going to be a bunch of, you know,
they're a good amount of snowboarders,
ruffians, if you will. But yeah, there's a certain vibe to the people there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And at these events, you know, you go in and there's a lot of different drawings for, you know, free lift tickets, free travel, free trips, all kinds of stuff. And these people are just like vultures, just elbowing, pushing.
I mean, usually in town, people are very nice and courteous and whatever. And this was just people boxing out.
It's like black,
trying to get
like
in
the
there.
Worst of Black Friday.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Trying to get, because it's not just getting like, you know, cheap waffle iron. This is like getting like ski stuff,
like
which is
trips.
Expensive and awesome. Yeah.
They were giving away like 2-3 day trips. They were giving away like.
Yeah, Burke Mountain
trips.
Up in Vermont. They had a cool like long weekend stay up there at the new lodge. They
Gore
had,
gave one.
Gore. There was Wyndham, I think, had something too.
Wyndham
so a lot of the local areas in the you know New York. New York, Vermont area was were giving away stuff. And then there was like the grand prize where you could enter, you could win a trip. You could win the opportunity to be at another raffle to go to Portillo next spring.
Yeah.
You could win a trip to Utah or a trip to Montana. And again, the box you had to put your form into, I mean, just people just elbowing and.
Yeah. There were multiple boxes too. It was
brutal.
Like, you know, so we're walking around, and it's just me. It's one of my peeves. Maybe I'm a different person or whatever, but, like, I just get – when people are inconsiderate, I get a little PO'd.
Mm-hmm.
And there were just people just, like, standing on the stairs, like, sitting on the stairs, like, having a phone conversation or having – it's like there's people going by.
And
come
on, it's not exactly the widest staircase in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people just generally very selfish and not really paying attention to what's going on around them.
Yeah, but there's a good vibe. I mean, it was a great event.
People, yeah, in general, everyone was there for a love of skiing.
Yeah, and the reps were really cool. We met a lot of cool reps.
Yeah.
Talked to a lot of people. Met up with our buddies from our favorite ski shop,
yeah.
Pinos.
And, you know, the one thing, too, it's a weird vibe. Because, again, you know, it happens at night. And there's a bar there. So you get some of these, like, just... I noticed a bunch of old broads just freaking hammered, just being like, excuse me, with like their wine tipping over.
Yeah.
They
were pre-partying.
Probably didn't
want to
be there. Like, I don't want to go to this stupid thing. Fucking ski bullshit. Like, you know, just, it's an interesting mix of people.
Yeah.
But
like we said, it was a good time. It was
they do a great job setting it all up. Yeah. And, you know, all the folks that were involved on the Warren Miller on the, you know, the side, the, like I said, the vendors, they were all like super chill, super friendly.
They had a lot of giveaways. They did raffles during intermission.
Stuff they gave away.
A lot of swag.
Swag. Some crappy swag too, like this. I'm not going to even say what brand it is because it is just garbage. But
yeah, it serves its purpose.
What purpose is that?
To get you to get it.
To get our debt to China greater.
That's
pretty much
exactly.
More made in China garbage to throw out.
But, yeah, no, it was a good time.
And then, of course, the movie itself, which was pretty, you know, these Warren Miller movies, you know, they're always awesome and they're always pushing the envelope and taking to the next level and doing some really cool stuff. So, yeah, you know, if it's coming to your area, definitely check it out. I don't know when it's going to go on sale, if you can buy it through iTunes in the very near future. But, again, they're always worth checking out. They did a great job.
And they hooked us up. So, you know, Brian, what was your favorite part of the movie? With some of the key points, we're not going to do a whole...
We don't want to spoil it. There's some possible spoilers. I mean, we all know the end of the movie is people having an awesome time skiing.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to ruin anything for you.
It's not like Game of Thrones where like, oh, did you know so-and-so died? Look, no. It's like, yeah.
Nobody died in the making of this movie
exactly.
That we know about.
That was...
You know what? I think my favorite part was... Well, there were two favorite parts. One was favorite, but there's two favorites. One was more favorite than the other. Well, the one was when they went up to Alaska and they had those tents. They had like a tent city where they were living in. They showed the guys who were the chefs there and they were cooking in these, you know, they had I don't know if it was a propane furnace that they were using or a propane stove.
Yeah.
They had in the tent
that, was
that they
cool.
were cooking with, which is really cool to see. And they were interviewing the chefs were there, which was...
I'm fascinated by the setup of all that because I was like, you know, they had to get all that up. And obviously they showed at the end of the movie, like them breaking it down. And they brought in a helicopter, but I was like, that's still logistically like that's a pretty intense little setup there.
It's legit, yeah. So that was cool, but I think my favorite was they had these two dudes, and they flew into Kathmandu to go...
Kathmandu?
Yeah, to go snowboarding in the Himalayas.
Yeah.
And that was just unbelievable. I mean, just beyond words, just showing those, you know, those mountains. And they were saying the elevation there was 26,000 feet.
That was insane.
That was absolutely nuts. That's like taking Telluride and doubling it.
Yeah, they had like a little Sherpa village up there. And it was wild because I guess they had like kids up there that help, you know, that are working there, and like, you know, it's very cultural. Like, you can tell they're like generations of people that are like Sherping, and they didn't even like, here they are around people that are skiing and boarding, and they were never on one before. So it was pretty cool to see them, like, you know, trying to help the little kids, like, you know, try to board a little. And it was pretty neat. It was very nice.
Yeah, and it was cool, too, because they had a whole thing. I mean, again, I don't know if this was actually really happened or they just did it to enhance the story. The guys lost their, I guess, their luggage got lost.
Yeah.
So they were kind of hanging out in Kathmandu in Nepal and kind of cruising around and hanging out.
That was pretty cool.
You know, having an adventure off the mountain. And it was, and again, too, it's a Warren Miller movie, so you know the cinematography is going to be fantastic. Everything is really well shot. The music, the production is top notch. So that was probably my favorite part. How about you? What was yours?
I actually did like the part with the three girls driving around in the camper, mm-hmm. and they did Alaska. That was pretty neat. It was McKenna Peterson, Lexi DuPont, and Amy Engbretson. Engbretson. It's a tough name to say.
That is.
Anyway, so it was the three of them, and it was cute. They were like dancing around, and then they were like, at the end was pretty funny. I'm not going to spoil that, but one of our favorite scenes from one of our favorite movies they reenacted.
That's right. That was so great.
Which is cute and clever, but it was a nice...
an homage, if you will.
An homage. But it was nice to see them, like, you know, of course, they're badass skiers, and they were just tearing up the, you know, where they were skiing. But it's cool to see them, like, having, like, a bonding experience and doing that. It was pretty neat.
They said it was a month they did in that camper?
I'm sure
they did like a camper trip, and then they did the heli skiing.
Yeah,
I think it was in Valdez, right?
Yeah, but that was pretty cool. That was one of my just the whole atmosphere of that was pretty cool.
That was cool, yeah.
And then I did like the part with Eric, which was a little artistically.
Oh, Eric Pollard, yeah,
which was just the fantastic ski footage.
And that was in Japan, right?
Actually, it was three places. Japan was one of them. But if you look at the, I remember from the movie, there were at least two places. But then I looked in the book, and it was actually three.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, they gave us this this really cool. I mean, it's almost like if you were going to see a play, like the playbill, kind of giving you the outline and showing you some photos of, you know, all the places that they did the filming, showing the, you know, the athletes, and yeah, there's some amazing shots in here that will be kind of looking at and using as motivation and inspiration over the next couple of months.
Yeah, it was really, I tell you, it was enjoyable. It was nice. They had a little intermission, so, they, you know, cool things down. They get to sign up for more stuff, and they did the raffles, and they did the rest of the movie. It was really fun.
Yeah, and one of the really, and then another, you know, again, we don't want to, you know, tell you the whole movie, not that really giving any crazy spoilers or anything, but they had that. They had this one family, these four brothers, I think they all were in Utah.
Yeah.
And they were showing the one brother actually builds his own, what do they call it, a powder board, I guess? So it's like a snowboard with no bindings.
Yeah.
And he would just use this to cruise down the champagne powder at Snowbird. It was pretty sweet. Yeah.
I looked on Red Bull TV. They actually have a whole little show on those. I think they're, what the hell is the name?
Jeremy Jensen.
There we go.
Yeah. His company, Grassroots Powder Surfing, prides itself on being free of everything. Bindings, straps, magnets. In other words, 100% pure. So he's been making these boards since 2007 and now ships boards all over the world. I grew up a skateboarder. I'm totally landlocked. There's nowhere to surf. But I've got these beautiful mountains behind me loaded with great snow for 6 months out of the year. I was just basically adapting to my environment and trying to have fun. Pow surfing was a product of that.
Yeah.
So, really cool stuff.
They're like freeboards. I forgot the name they call them, but basically it's a snowboard with no bindings. It's freaking awesome. I guess you can only do it where you have really nice powder so you can surf. But I would imagine on the East Coast we'd be doing too much of that.
Yeah. And, of course, you had a dope trip down in South America and Portillo.
And then there's the segment that we talked about before because I saw the article on SkiNet, and I had to talk about it, but they had the Monoski-Palooza, which they did in Jackson Hole, man. That looked pretty wild.
Yeah.
They actually had a whole – I didn't realize that they had a whole day in Jackson just for this ski monoski palooza.
Yeah, cool. There was probably like 30 or 40 monoskiers.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
And it's cool hearing some of their stories. Like the one guy's like, "Oh yeah, my knees were bothering me and I couldn't ski regular, but like now I can get back on the mountain because of the monoski."
Yeah.
And some of these dudes were awesome.
Well, supposedly they didn't say it in the movie, but I read something about monoskiing that you go faster. I think we talked about this before. And our buddy said that when he was a ski instructor out west, he tried it once and he was like, "Holy crap, you just crank down the mountain." You're like, so
well, watching Apocalypse Snow, you can tell how fast you can go on a monoski.
Exactly. And he said after like a few weeks, they were like, "Okay, no more monoskiing. Just put that thing away. Nobody's monoskiing on this mountain."
They just banned it?
They didn't ban it officially, but they were just like, "We don't want anybody on monoskis if we can," because it was, I guess, causing some accidents and a little danger.
I could see that.
I could see that. Still looks cool. That'd be fun to do.
Oh, yeah. Be cool to check out.
Yeah.
So if it is coming to your area, you can definitely don't hesitate.
Everything it's we see time. About Japan looks freaking awesome.
Japan, just
incredible
looks...
powder. The best is they're like flying through these trees and like jumping off trees and stuff. That was pretty neat.
I love when they do that. Yeah, yeah. Kind of like kissing the tree almost. And
it's crazy. And then of course they had the paragliders. It was fun.
Oh,
In Chamonix.
Yeah, that was insane.
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, so if you are, go look online, go to skinet.com/Warren Miller, find out if the movie is playing near you, and do not hesitate. Definitely go check them out.
We may see it again. Time. We may see it again. They're playing in New York next week. We know a bunch of of our buddies from the Hoboken Ski Club that are going, so.
Yeah.
Might be, and they'll probably have more giveaways, I tell you.
More swag.
We got free lift tickets. We got vouchers for free lift tickets to Smugglers, which is one of the places we're going to go. During our Ski Bum Week.
Hashtag Ski Bum Week.
That's right. Hashtag Ski Bum Week.
More to come on that.
And, it's... They gave a lot of it. There's 2-for-1 Killington. So there was like... I got to say...
Well, you don't get all those. You pick one, right?
No, you get them all.
You get them all?
Yeah. You go and you get vouchers for all of that.
I thought you picked one.
No.
Are you sure?
Where are you at?
Are you sure?
I went online today.
I'm in a little place called Reality.
I went online today and I you got what you got to do is you got to print it out and then take the voucher into. You get all that stuff, dude.
Freaking you get all this?
Yeah, that's why I was like, I definitely swag
indeed. I thought it was only one. Limit one voucher per person.
Yeah,
I think you have to pick one. I could be wrong.
That's not the way it looked online.
I hope I'm wrong.
You just print it out online and then you take it to the ticket booth and you. Redeem it. Some of them they say free, but you could do either free or 2-for-1,
mm-hmm.
Which in essence is buy one get one.
Damn.
Yeah.
Pretty
so
sweet.
So that is something to look forward to, especially we got our free ticks for Smugs, which we're going to do, and some of the other ones, Wyndham. I think I'm going to try to use that if
Sugar
we can.
Sugarbush is nearby.
Sugarbush, yeah.
Up in Vermont.
So they get a bunch of those in Killington. We know people that use those.
Sugarbush is right by. Lawson's Finest Liquids. Get some Slip of Sunshine.
May have to extend Ski Bum Week.
I think it's going to have to be Ski Bum Life.
Yeah. Well, we just have to extend the days that we're on the road.
Yes.
That's not too bad.
No.
Stay an extra day in Burlington or something.
Can make it happen. Who can stop us?
Who can stop us?
So, yeah. So
get
and out
if
there.
The folks from Warren Miller want to come around and hang out with us, we got a lot of stuff planned that they may want to use for future...
Yes. We're going to be very busy. We're not going to... alter our schedule for you guys, but you're welcome to come on board and get a little glimpse.
They probably won't want to film us, but they could hang around and get ideas.
They might want to get a little bit of a glimpse of bum life.
A glimpse of bum life. The best part, too, is when we're talking to people, like you can tell there's some people that are still ski bums, which is pretty – they're keeping it strong.
Actually probably one of the most fun parts of the night is that after the movie, we were hanging with some people – at the local watering hole nearby. And, yeah, we were talking to a couple of the reps. We were talking to a couple of ski bums. We were talking to our friend Derek at High Nose. And people just telling stories and talking about what they're into. And, was it named Kyle, the vocal rep?
Yeah.
Really cool guy, from New Hampshire and kind of getting the lowdown on what his job's all about, what he does, where he gets to go.
Yeah.
It's really cool because, it's one of those things you kind of used to what you do and how you do your thing. And hearing people coming from a totally different point of view really kind of opens your eyes to the possibilities,
yeah.
And what's out there and what you can do. So it was a really good time.
It was fun to see. They all know each other. They run into each other all the time. It's kind of a little camaraderie, a little competition. They got a little banter going back and forth. It was neat.
Yeah, breaking balls, having a couple drinks, having some laughs. Yeah, it's almost like après ski. It's like pre-ski après.
Pre-ski après ski. There you go.
Pre-ski season après.
Pre-ski
season. So not après ski, pre-ski.
That was après movie.
Après movie.
Après Warren Miller.
Après Warren Miller, yeah.
That's right. Après Miller, hashtag Après Warren Miller.
Post Miller Après Ski.
Yeah. Impromptu and movie showing party.
Yeah. It was a screening.
Screening, yeah.
Make it sound so fancy.
Oh, you gotta fancy it. You gotta dress
it up.
That's
what we do. So yeah, if you wanna check out any more information on us or let us know if you went to an event or have any tips, advice, hit us up, skibumppodcast.com, all of our other info, social media, email, it's all on there. So hit us up, let us know. All right, cool. And now it's time.
Oh, you know what time it is now?
Bass.
Time Bass. For Around the Horn.
Yes, it is.
Got some very interesting stuff today.
We got a great little swath of stories this week. So first off, presidential candidate and U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders introduces bill to end federal ban on marijuana. Yes, indeed. Can you believe it? A candidate with an opinion actually trying to do stuff. Bernie Sanders introduced legislation this week to end the federal prohibition on marijuana, going far beyond Democratic rival Hillary Clinton in his acceptance of the quote-unquote drug. The bill, called the Ending Federal Marijuana Prohibition Act, would remove marijuana from the federal list of Schedule I drugs defined by the Drug Enforcement Agency as the, quote, most dangerous substances, but have no accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. Although states would still be allowed to ban the drug, other states that have legalized it would face no barriers from the federal government. So right now, there are 4 states and 1 district that have all made it legal for recreational use.
And one of which is where all the people, the lawmakers, spend most of their time.
Yes, exactly, which is kind of crazy.
Right?
Yeah. But yeah, so this is huge. I mean, could you imagine, you know, 8 years ago, you know, 12 years ago, 16 years ago, that a presidential candidate a year before the election would come up with a bill this, you know, this ambitious? And, you know, I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't imagine Bill Clinton doing this.
I don't see why this wasn't put before for a vote earlier. Because honestly, it's a shit show. There's a lot of wasted money in the government fighting the states. And it's at least work it out one way or the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much money tied up in keeping marijuana illegal at this point. It's just a matter of it's all but slowly being unraveled though right now. You know, I mean, you've like the head of the DEA coming out with idiotic, you know, statements about marijuana. Yeah. It's all just unraveling because the scientific evidence is backing that it's not an addictive, it's not a gateway drug. No one has ever died from a marijuana overdose ever. You know, there's so many other drugs that are legal. I mean, alcohol is by far way worse if you look at the effects on people, on deaths that it's caused every year, than marijuana.
Yeah.
It's a matter of getting people to unlearn all the things that have been drilled in their head, the just say no, all that crap from the 80s and even further back that's just been, you know, indoctrinated into us from school and parents and whatever. So it's really, really great to see him making a stand and doing that.
This bill, I mean, it speaks to me not just for the whole marijuana, like it's the whole fight between the federal government and the local states. I really think, you know, in a lot of cases, states should have sovereignty and have the control of what they make for a law, and the federal government just has like an overarching, but they work together. You have two opposing laws in this case where they're allowed to make laws for marijuana by the state, but yet the federal government is saying no. Well, either either you're not going to let the states make their own law for this and govern it, or you have to, you know, like you just have to fix it one way or another. Like I said, and it's this whole big shit show. It shouldn't. because there's a lot of taxpayer money that gets wasted in the shut them down, let them open back up, shut, you know, and people are caught in between.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's the whole story, you know, the whole part of it too, where people go to jail for these like nonviolent drug offenses, like carrying a little bit of marijuana.
Right.
You get arrested, you go to jail. I mean, your life is over. I mean, you can't get a job afterwards. You become part of the system. You will most likely end up in jail again.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's, and there's a lot of racism and behind it. There's a lot of bullshit behind it.
It's a lot of nonsense. Yeah. You think about it, you know?
Yeah. It's really just a control over, you know, it is a lot of racism, a lot of control over, you know, underprivileged inner city, you know, folk. So
there's all these other agendas to it. It's like, at least just settle it and then work on the agendas, as, you know, you could focus more in on whatever the problems are.
Yeah. And it's really kind of, you know, isolating and destroying a part of our society. And as one great podcaster said, he said, you know, America would be better if we had less losers, you know? And if you put less people in jail and have more people doing things to be productive and becoming, you know, making us, because we've left people who are losers dragging us down, we'll have more winners, more people doing good things, and that'll benefit everybody, you know? Less crime, less potential for crime, less, you know, violence. So I think this is a huge first step. And I think a lot of the people who think this is a negative, a foolish, stupid thing are people who are just don't have a clue. They don't really understand the economic, the social benefits this is going to have.
But I don't even see this as a marijuana issue. I see this as a legislation debate about who should be able to write law for subjects, you know, certain issues. And I really think if you could apply this to a lot of other things, like you have to make a decision. Does the federal government control that, make the law on it, or does the state make the law?
And, you know, I'm a big believer, of course, in, you know, less government interaction, you know, more people's rights, more states' rights. So
I mean, it's still going to be, you're still going to have laws and you're still going to have governance on it. And the states have to govern it in the anyway. So they are making the law of yes or no. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the federal government should even be weighing in on it. So I think this law is just correcting what's already there.
Yeah. I mean, my whole thing, my biggest problem is the whole thing with, you know, the people who made these laws in the first place, they had an agenda. They had people who were shoving money in their pockets, probably the pharmaceutical industry, the prison guard lobby, the police lobby, you know, all
keeping it that way.
It's that whole follow the money thing, you know, and you follow the money and you see that, oh, wow, the person who brought this bill up is going to make money off of this, you know. And, of course, you do the same thing for Bernie Sanders here now. I mean, he is a senator from Vermont. Vermont is known for having very kind of, you know, a liberal, you know, liberal base for their voter base. And they've decriminalized marijuana there. You can legally carry it. You can't buy it there.
Right.
But it would actually benefit his state. I don't know Bernie's personal finances, if he is invested in a farm that would grow it there. I'm sure he would benefit in some way. But this seems to be more of those, it benefits the people, as opposed to, you know, benefiting a person, one particular company. Like you see, you know, a lot of times it seems like these bans are, you know, the pharmaceutical industry making sure these things stay illegal so that they can pump their prescription drugs on people. One, two, three, four of them, you know, like you're on one drug and you need a second drug and a third drug to counter those two to keep you as an economic leech, pretty much, you know, that on your life.
Well, the situation right now lets people put their hidden agenda to work. So, like, they don't, you know, it's allowed in the state, but, you know, some other lawmakers don't want it to be a viable business in the state. So because the federal law governs it, they won't let it follow federal, you know, it breaks federal banking laws because it's looked at as money laundering. So to fund it for research or for banking is like a no-no. So it's kind of like this would actually help put a legitimate structure to everything. And I think in general, like the taxpayers would benefit from at least having a clear decision on what is the law.
Yeah.
Federal government's still going to have to control, you know, what comes in and out of the country. You know, that's still going to be there. But state to state, that's, you know, or the interstate, they're going to have to still police. But, you know, in the state is a different thing.
Yeah. So it's going to be very interesting to see where this goes and how this affects, you know, Bernie Sanders' whole presidential campaign, Because this is going to be a big topic now.
Well, and you're going to see probably more people weigh in, because if he gets, you know, positive press on this, some people are going to be like, yeah, I want positive press too. I'm going to say, yeah, I'll back that too.
Yeah. And you never know. This could be, it could be what makes the difference between him and Hillary, you know, positive or negative.
It could also be everybody jumps on board with it and says, hey, I want to all back it.
Because, I mean, let's be honest, most people are sheep, you know, especially when you're talking about politicians, that if, you know, this starts gaining momentum, there's going to be it's almost popular, like the seesaw effect. Like everyone just kind of piles on to the one side.
Yeah. A lot of people do that. You know, a lot of politicians I've seen do that. But.
Yeah. You can see Hillary being like, if it gets a lot of positive press, I've always been for the legalization of marijuana as well. Yeah. And blah, blah, blah.
She didn't make a comment on that, right?
She says she has no opinion right now. She needs more evidence or something.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
That's a no to me.
Yep.
And then a follow-up. So Ohio had the vote in this election just last week, this past week. And so I like, I believe this was USA Today or CNN.
It was USA Today.
And they did a 6 reasons why Ohio votes down legalizing marijuana. And they came up with some good points. So they said, and you had mentioned some of these, monopoly of cultivation to 10 already chosen entities.
That was the big thing, and there was an article in the New York Times this past Sunday that talked about it as well. Even a lot of folks who were very pro-legalization of marijuana were against this because of the business interests those 10 groups had. I mean, these people had a monopoly that they created.
Right.
And they were going to be able to grow, cultivate, and sell. They were going to be exclusive to the entire state. Right. And that really rubbed people the wrong way.
Yeah, and that's one of the other ones was they said there's that movement that you just mentioned. They said that movement just started up, and there's a lot of people, like you said, were opposed to it for that. Like that are not – they're pro-legalization, but they're against this bill that was presented.
Especially when you have someone like Nick Lachey trying to you know – he was one of the ones who I think was involved in one of these businesses that would have benefited from this thing going through. He was in a commercial apparently for it too.
They had another interesting thing they said, which I didn't really think about. They said they wrote something in. So it appeared that some of the lawmakers that appeared to go along with the bill actually kind of sabotaged it because they wrote in an article preventing monopolies written into the opposition, into the proposal, therefore creating that opposition to the monopoly that they would have created.
Because there was also a vote to ban monopolies on the ballot as well. So it was really – it was weird.
It was like set up to fail, but they just wanted to get out there, I guess.
Pretty much. But I think a lot of the folks that were – you know, like I said, the people who were very pro-legalization were against this because of that structure and the way it empowered this group.
Yeah. Then they had a good point. They were trying to go from prohibition to full legalization, including recreational. Mm-hmm. And maybe you know, the state's not ready for it, because a lot of states that have it in as recreational did medical first, and they had a lot of stuff set up by the time they went recreational. So I could understand a point for that.
They were saying like it would have started about 2020 is the time it would have taken to get the infrastructure built out, the product.
Because there's a lot they got to set up.
It is.
You know, they got to write state laws now. They got to, you know, governance. Like, how's that going to, you know. It's good now that other states are doing it, because now they could just borrow what other states are doing and say, yeah, we're going to apply the same rules.
Yeah, and I mean, well, one thing too is, I mean, people, you know, certain states have fully legalized it and they can be used as like a blueprint. I mean, people were worried that Colorado was all going to go to hell, and it's actually become a better place. They've made tons of money in taxes.
That was the big concern when they started.
Yeah.
They didn't have anybody that knew how to write a law.
Yeah.
For marijuana. They're like, we don't know how to leave. They actually got dealers and people that were into pot smoking and dealing to actually help them write the law about what they had to regulate.
That's crazy, yeah.
It's nuts, right?
Yep.
They also said off-year election, which this is hard to get a big change like this in. So they said it's kind of almost not to be unexpected, let's say, you know. And this one, I said this, I was looking at a picture with a buddy of mine online, and I'm like, yeah, this isn't good for their cause. Buddy the mascot, did you see that?
Yeah, it was so cheesy.
It was stupid, a little bit creepy, and I could understand. a lot of people were turned off because they're like, it's appealing totally to kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost like Joe Camel with the smoking and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's like,
they made it. It was almost like a weed version of Joe Camel.
It was
like
a cartoonish, and it was a little bit weird and creepy. Like, why would you have this dude run around in this costume? I mean,
it almost seems like, yeah, like you said before, like it is like set up to fail. Like they've done all this like cheesy stuff, you know?
I mean, it totally looks schlocky. It's not a sporting event or a concert. I mean, this is a bill that people are like really having opinions on, you know?
Are you going to have like a Social Security mascot? You know, like we're trying to reform Social Security and here's Stefan the bill, you know? Like, we got to make this bill go through.
I'm just a bill.
Just a bill. Yeah. And then there was one other one too. Did you mention this one? The movement against big money backers?
Yeah.
That one already.
Well, I said that after because you brought up
The monopoly.
The cultivation. Well, it was the cultivation and also just the big money backers for the whole industry, right?
Plus, too, it is Ohio. I mean, it's, you know, a quote unquote Rust Belt state. You know, there's a lot of people who are unemployed or underemployed to see these people that are going to now kind of swoop in and make a ton of money and kind of keeping a lot of people from being able to make that money.
Yeah.
You know, it's maybe in a different state that would have worked, but it was not in a state like Ohio, which is crazy because it's a swing state. So if they do try to put legalization forth next year, this is going to be a huge topic. I mean, with the being a swing state, presidential election, plus the legalization.
I would love to see just like it's died down a little because this is the big debate people are having. But like whatever happened to passing that industrial hemp can be grown? I mean, it's no THC, but like. That's used in so much industry. There's a few states that have done it.
North Carolina, I think, just passed something recently.
And that's
where they just started doing something.
It's such a cash crop.
Yeah.
There's no THC effects to it. It's very minimal. You know, it's the minimus amount that's in there. But the amount, I mean, what was the stat that we looked a while ago? I haven't looked at the recent. We were at one time importing over $2 billion worth of hemp for processing and industrial from China and Canada.
Yeah. It's lunacy.
In 1 year.
It's absolute lunacy, yep.
And that's money that could go into the farmers' pockets, and it's just crazy. And that's industrial hemp. That's not even this debate.
Yeah, it passed in North Carolina. Industrial hemp is now legal in North Carolina. The state bill passed 42-6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just to grow it so you can make clothes out of it and text, you know, all sorts of other stuff.
Yep.
Cool.
So, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how this all kind of plays out. So, from one vice to another, here's the top 5 airlines ranked by booze.
Something to be looked for when you're going on that ski vacation.
Thing. I got to tell you, we usually fly United just because it's our local hub airline. Yeah. And they merged, they bought Continental a few years ago. And Continental used to be a great airline.
Yeah, they were.
But ever since United took it over, it has really gone downhill.
And they got bigger and bigger, and it's,
bigger and shittier.
Yeah.
So they are not in the top 5. Their selection of booze is pretty
kind
weak.
Of all the airlines got a little shittier, though.
Right?
You got to bring your own. 5. You got to buy your own food on the plane now, and it's just crazy.
Yeah.
It used to be such a nice, wonderful experience, an exotic
experience. Luxurious experience.
Get on the airplane. Remember you used to get like playing cards as a kid and you're like, oh wow, I'm on a on a plane, this is really a big event. And now it's just like put me on the fucking Airbus, you know what I mean? I'll bring my own sandwich or whatever. It's just
Greyhound in the sky.
And some of these airlines, they do it right. I mean, I've heard like some of them on that list are just like I've heard they're freaking awesome to fly.
Yeah. So here we go. So number 5, Virgin America. Based in California, Virgin stocks tasty Golden State faves like One Hop Wines and Anchor Steam Brewery. As for spirits, they offer solid choices in Glenfiddich, Tito's, and Bombay Sapphire.
Nice.
Not bad. Number 4, Alaska Airlines. Alaska Air is actually based in Seattle. I did not know that.
I actually flew them going to Tahoe out of LAX. That was my connection with Alaska.
Which
was strange. I was like, why are we getting... I was like, whatever. It was a small plane.
I think I've flown them from Hawaii.
Hawaii?
That makes sense? No. Somewhere. Somewhere out west.
Huh.
So they're based in Seattle, so they have some groovy handcrafted spirits from Jet City's own award-winning Sun Liquor Distillery.
Wow.
They do carry beers from Alaska as well. Cheers to Alaskan Amber and Alaskan Free Ride Pale Ale.
Free Ride.
And on trips to Hawaii, they'll have the hard-to-find Kona Longboard Island Lager.
Not that fun.
Which is pretty
hard to
cool.
Find.
It really isn't. I've seen it.
I love
here.
Kona. I love the long part. That's one of my favorites.
When Andrew and I went on our honeymoon, and we flew into Honolulu, and then we were flying to Kauai. So we had a little stop over there, went to the local bar, watched the Yankees in the World Series, and had freaking longboards.
On draft. See, I've never had
it
on draft.
It's so nice. Oh, you're in Hawaii, you're having a longboard on draft. It's just...
I got to check around. I think...
feels right.
One of the bars I go to, I think maybe had... I don't know. I got to see if it was Kona that was on draft.
Yeah. It's good stuff. Number three, Emirates. Winner of various culinary awards, Emirates also has a great lineup of drink options, all free, even in economy. Yeah. While they do offer vin de paix, de coeur French wines, and two exclusive Dom Pérignons, where they really excel is in the cocktail mixers.
Wow.
Do they have $18 maraschino cherries? I don't know. But according to Air Review, passengers get two choices of vermouth, a good selection of sours, and if they order a Bloody Mary, the staff will lay out the vodka, tomato juice, Tabasco sauce, and even salt and pepper so you can mix it how you like.
Wow. I've heard Emirates is supposed to be the top-notch one.
It's pretty fancy, right?
Yeah, I imagine it's not.
What do they even fly out of, like, do they fly only into the Middle East?
Like Dubai and stuff like that. I don't know. I think they fly some other places, but it's...
That's probably the majority of their...
It looks pretty damn...
Yeah.
Definitely different than bringing my own sandwich on my flight.
Yes. You got to mule your own food in sometimes, right? Just thinking. Muling your own food and booze on the plane.
Yeah.
So this is number two is a big surprise for me. Delta Airlines. While the drinks aren't free in economy, you can expect an amazing craft beer selection on U.S. flights.
Look at that.
Including Brooklyn Brewery and Sweetwater Brewery from the airline's home state of Georgia. Brooklyn, obviously from New York.
Surprising.
A very respectable spirit selection includes Avion Tequila and Woodford Reserve Small Batch Bourbon, one of our favorites.
I like Woodford.
Their wine pairings with food are especially elevated, pun intended, as curated by Master Sommelier Andrea Robinson, a three-time James Beard Award winner and one of only 21 Master Sommes in the world.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Pretty cool. Delta
from this area sucks because you got to transfer in Atlanta. That's the only reason, like, it has a bad taste in my mouth. Well, because you're a hub, you know.
You have to, I mean, usually you fly out of JFK, I guess that's their hub, or LaGuardia.
Yeah.
But their also hub is Salt Lake City. Ooh. So whenever you're going out to Snowbird Park City,
JFK,
that's
then?
Where you're flying. Yeah, you fly out of Salt Lake. And wow. If you look at JFK's schedule, there's like six flights a day out there. So you can really pick the right time. Newark, there's a couple of flights, not as many.
Yeah, it's not as convenient. I mean, usually wind up having to switch in Atlanta. It's usually either out of the way or it's just a shit show transferring. And,
yeah. But they have some solid beverages
available.
And then number one, British Airways.
Hmm,
you'll find a global, completely complimentary selection here. Wines from New Zealand, Spain, France, and England. Top flight beer. Guinness, Grolsch, Stella Artois, Pilsner Urquell, and their quote-unquote house whiskey is Johnnie Walker Black.
Damn.
Lovely. We've even seen a Glenlivet 15 before.
Wow.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, I've heard, actually, different flights have a little bit different setup.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Keep things adventurous and different, right?
So now...
So you don't have to get hammered at the club or the bar at the airport. You can actually find some pretty groovy airlines that have a nice, interesting selection.
Maybe even keep that buzz through the flight.
Keep the buzz going.
Keep it going. You don't want to fall asleep.
No.
You're not waking up. So while we're flying, there might have been some drunkenness going on in this story because there was, in our local area, a runaway blimp. And this thing was on a fucking rampage. I was telling Brian about this. He hadn't heard about it. And I know one of my buddies, his nephew goes to...
Blimp enthusiast?
Blimp enthusiast. A fellow blimp enthusiast. He goes to school in Pennsylvania. And right near where the blimp came down, it was... I think they closed school because it was right near there. But so the blimp's name... And is the funny thing, it's this blimp, this high-tech blimp. The Pentagon and NORAD were tracking it. Because it was a security blimp with, it's called the J-Lens blimp. And it has all this high-tech equipment on there so that it can help detect if there are any threats. Usually they use it, any threats to, like, Washington, D.C. And they say it can actually detect stuff in an area as large as the state of Texas. So it's really high-tech, pretty cool piece of equipment. But it got out of control and just started freaking going. And they couldn't stop it. They have a deflation mechanism where they can, you know, as a safety, deflate it. And that didn't work. So I think the thing just had, you know, weird programming, went a little bit haywire. And it went on this rampage. So it broke out. It caused power outages. There were about 30,000 people in Bloomberg's area that were out of power because all the tether lines were still on it. And it was just grabbing power lines as it went and just wrecking them. There were no injuries or death, but they actually took precautions because they let kids out of school because this thing is rampaging. I don't know where it's going to crash. So they actually took precautions to protect children because they were afraid they were going to get, like, either whipped by the you know, the stuff it was dragging or just crushed over. It was like a Godzilla blimp story. It was crazy. And then the funniest thing is when it finally came down, it stopped, and I guess they brought it down somehow. It wouldn't deflate. There was part of it that was still open. So the state police was shooting with shotguns.
Oh, my God.
In PA. I was like, it's just one bad thing after another.
Well done, Pennsylvania.
But
well done.
Yeah. So, and then one of the best parts of a runaway blimp is you have a good story like this, you get a lot of good memes out of it. So I was just showing these to Brian.
Oh, these are so funny. Yeah, the Chris Christie one's pretty good. Bye, yeah. Felicia.
Bye, Felicia. They have the Lionel Richie one. Hello. Is it me you're looking for?
Yeah.
That was awesome. Oh,
they're pretty funny. So yeah, we'll post the links in the show notes. You can take a look and let us know what you think.
I like the little airplane thing with the little inflatable guy.
Yeah, from the airplane, the movie, yeah. That's good. So, the next story. Now, I don't know. Australia, you're a beautiful, awesome place with cool people, but what the hell's going on with your animals there?
Everything's dangerous.
Oh, there's a picture. So, this was on Mashable. They had a picture of...
You got kangaroos taking down drones.
That's true, yeah. We
badass place.
A few weeks ago. So, this is... It's a picture of a snake within a... Like, a snake ate another snake, but somehow the main predatory eating snake died and the one that was being consumed like burst through it. So it's just this picture of like two dead snakes like intertwined and
gives me the shivers.
You're trying, it is like, it's so creepy. Like you're trying to make heads or tails like about exactly what happened.
And then you realize they're just snakes. Don't even look at them.
Don't look too close.
Can't even look.
So they're saying what happened is there's a brown snake and a black snake. So they're saying that the brown snake somehow, for some reason, was eating the black snake and then may have gotten run over by a car. And that may have caused pressure to build up and make the other black snake burst through. So man. It's just this two dead snakes kind of intertwined.
This
and
is creepy, man.
Yeah, there's like part of the black snake coming out of the brown snake's mouth and the other part just burst through maybe like 6-7 inches down from its mouth. And it's... Oh, it just, I can't even look at it without getting like chills. It's just gross and creepy,
yeah.
And terrifying. That's so
nuts. It makes you realize how much dangerous stuff is out in Australia.
This is true.
It's where the tough ass people, right?
Keep it real, Australia.
So only in Russia. We always have we always have something on Russia, it seems. So only in Russia. I just came across this. Since 1970s, Soviet scientists decided to drill a hole and just keep drilling and drilling. So for the next 24 years, they kept drilling just down. And I don't know what their purpose was, but they did find some...
Can't stop, won't stop.
At the bottom, they found some like prehistoric microbes or whatever, like, you know, fossilized microbes and stuff. And so while that's interesting, they drilled this hole. It's called a Koala Super Deep Bore Hole. And it has a drill depth of more than 7.5 miles.
Oh, my God.
Which is, to put it in perspective, it's further than the deepest point of the ocean.
Damn.
So you kind of wonder, like, what? Didn't you think you were going to hit lava or some shit at some point?
Yeah, right.
It just seems pretty funny. Like, why would you do this? I think it might have been
Putin thing that he was, you know, trying to, you know, claim the magma of the earth. So they're going to put a flag down there or something. I don't know.
Well, when did they say they started? In the 70s?
In the 70s.
I'm sure they're probably just looking to, like, get rid of people, like, just dump bodies in that hole.
I don't know. You can't
just burn up in the magma.
Well, they said it is really hot down there.
It's melt people down there.
Yeah, they said it's so hot, that's why they had to stop. I'm like, yeah, because something's probably going to burst through. So they have, like, they show, like, where it is, and it's, like, this abandoned warehouse, and shit is broken down. And then there's this big, like, manhole plate thing that's bolted on, and that's the hole.
Oof.
I'm like, this is just weird and creepy. Like, why would you keep doing it? Like, why would you dig a hole like that?
Yeah.
Maybe they're on meth. That's what meth heads do, right? Dig holes.
Now, who's the guy, like, operating that drill going down there every day?
You got a team of people. That's what I mean. This is like an organized, like, we're using a lot of funds to drill this freaking hole. Let's just keep drilling holes.
So I feel like that every morning they go into work and they're like, did someone finally say we could stop doing this shit? And they're like, no. It's like, God damn it. Like, when are they going to, like, tell us to stop doing this? This is ridiculous.
We have Mount Rushmore. They got a big ass hole.
Like, what kind of, like, I mean, I'm sure the temperature's got to get really hot down there. So they must wear some sort of crazy equipment or something.
Yeah. They have it in the article, like, how hot it was getting, and that's why they had to stop and all. But I don't know. I guess people do. I mean, we did Mount Rushmore. If you think about it in retrospect, yeah, it's a nice tribute. But, like, so you carved the entire mountain for four presidents' heads. It's like, okay, that's nice. But, like, I don't know. It's just strange. At least
that's, like, artistic, and you can take a look at it. Like, oh, it's kind of cool. Like, yeah. This is just a hole.
I drilled a hole, and I did it so well, I kept drilling a hole. For 24 years.
We are the master hole drillers. Bow before us.
I think in 24 years, that's like a few generations, you know, at least two generations coming in of workers, right?
My father started drilling here, and I'm going to drill here, and my, goddamn it, my son's going to drill here, too.
We're going to keep drilling this hole.
And we're going to keep going.
Oh, that's awesome.
Keep it real, Russia. You always do. So, talking about keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
So, our friends over at Vice, they are starting their own TV channel,
which is
pretty damn cool. Yeah. So over the past several years, this is they put an article on their website, Dear Vice fans, over the past several years, we've been making tons of videos and documentaries for you devoted to the topics and the subjects that you find most important, weird, or just plain funny. Today, we are thrilled to announce our latest venture, Viceland, a 24-hour cable channel featuring hundreds of hours of new programming. We've been shooting and cutting for months, and we can't wait to share with you our vision of what television should look like. The new shows are awesome. When we started making them, collaborating with our friends and the extended Vice family, we really didn't know how they would come together to create a TV channel, but when we saw what we had, we knew we were on to something very special. So this is pretty cool. I guess it's going to have to be a... It's weird because I don't even know how to start with this. Because you think, like, Vice is so, like, almost anti-TV, you know? Like, they're just so web-based and doing their own thing and doing things their way. To see them kind of go into the old media of television is kind of interesting. It's a smart move. I mean, I think...
Are they going to be able to stream this?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, I mean, is it going to be, like... I'm sure it's going to have, like, an Apple... Like a TV channel, like an app for, you know, set-top boxes.
Because if they really want to fight the power, they would make it available.
I guess they just need to spread their message. I mean, everyone, their fan base is obviously trends younger, more in touch with technology. Now it's almost like they're trying to go the other side of it, you know, getting an older audience that's used to just watching TV.
You got to make money, right? Where the eyeballs are. The people are watching.
Exactly. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I wonder if they're going to have like a morning show, you know? I mean, if they're going to be a 24-hour cable channel... I guess they have some sort of, like, structured programming, right?
Yeah. I mean, people are still going to watch TV. It just depends how they watch it, right? Is it going to come through your cable provider, or is it going to be through the internet? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's still people watching it. I personally like the idea of a dedicated place where you can go get their content, because I hate looking, you know, I know friends that look through YouTube for a bunch of stuff, and it's great, but there's a lot of searching involved, and I like the... I don't want to search that much. I already cut the cord. I'm not on cable, but yeah, I'm only going to do so much. You know what I mean?
Right. It's got to be served up at least in a consumable way.
At least connected together is, you know.
Well, that's one of the cool things. Like, so we talked about the Apple TV last week and how we're not really interested in it. One thing I did find out about that's pretty cool is it has, like, a search everywhere function within it.
Nice.
So you could say, I want to watch Top Gun. You know, it'll be like, oh, it's available on Netflix. It's available on iTunes.
See, that's nice.
The one bad thing is Apple TV doesn't have Amazon on there.
Right. So fighting for years.
And that's the one thing is, like, there's no one box that has everything across the board. You know, like Roku will have it, but they won't have iTunes. You know, the Amazon Kindle one. Yeah, there's no.
That's the cableizing of Internet TV.
You just got to have, like, multiple devices. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what cable does with the channels.
So, yeah, it'll be cool to see when Vice launches this, how it's going to turn out. I mean, all their stuff is pretty interesting. So it'll be nice to see. It'll be cool to see what they do with it. And if, you know, if they, maybe they'll change TV. Maybe they'll change, you know, the way news is done. Or maybe it'll just be another channel you just kind of skip. We don't really know at this point.
So I'm also wondering, too, because they're on HBO, right? So does that mean they're going to pull their show off of HBO and start showing it on Viceland? Or are they going to keep doing that and have different content?
It's almost like it works as a commercial. You know, on having it on HBO for them to go, oh, for more, check out.
Because HBO is more of a show that they, right?
A structured half an hour show once a week. Yeah.
And it's only a season. So they do, I think it was 13 episodes, and they do, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be, again, it'll be really cool to see, you know, what they do. But again, it is kind of interesting to see how, you know, they fought the TV model to do their thing online, and now to go back and put it on TV.
Yeah.
If that's going to work well for them.
Yeah, pretty good stuff. I like Vice.
Yeah, so we'll see.
And last but not least, so I don't know how, I think it was I Fucking Love Science that kind of tipped me off to this one. So you can sell your poop for about $13,000 a year and help science and help people. People helping
$13,000 a year.
So,
how, pray tell, can you do this?
Fecal matters. That's what the bottom line is, right? So, okay, the reason they're doing this. Okay, what is this, and why are they doing this? So, there's a company called Open Biome, and what they do is they pay for stool samples to create life-saving fecal transplant treatments for those affected with Clostridium difficile. Which is a bacteria that's highly resistant to antibiotics.
Also known as C. diff.
C. diff.
C. diff. C. diff. Stop C. diff.
So it's a bacteria that's highly resistant to antibiotics, and it results in severe diarrhea, hospitalizing about a quarter million Americans each year and about 14,000 deaths. So it's a pretty serious deal. Now, what they usually do for this is they actually have to transplant, I guess, microbiota into people, and it's a very intrusive thing. But what they found out is if you're a healthy donor of fecal matter and they can get that into somebody's intestine, they don't have to go through this, you know, intrusive procedure. And it's basically science is helping, you know, somebody actually wind up not even getting hospitalized and just living a normal life, which is pretty incredible. It's just a little strange. So, what they wind up doing is they use capsules of frozen fecal matter, which somebody then takes and they thaw out in their intestine, and it releases the, you know, the good bacteria,
yeah.
And the success rates is comparable to traditional treatments. Compared to traditional treatments, it's about 90% compared, which is huge. That's like almost a cure, you know what I mean?
Right.
Versus what it was before. So it's really messed up. But I guess they're out of Massachusetts, outside of Boston, and you have to be near that area. So I guess you have to do your donation there. You have to qualify first. So you can go online, see if you qualify, and if you're in the area and you can make it up to there, a few times a week, at least, I think they want at least three times a week. They'll give you $40 per donation with incentives for the size, apparently. And they'll give you a $50 bonus if you come at least 5 days a week.
That is so awesome. If I lived anywhere near Boston, I would do that in a heartbeat. And if they want to give you bonus for size, I would recommend going to Chipotle twice a day. Which I did last week, and I mean, I felt like a goddamn triceratops the next day. Like, it was just It was just brutal.
Well, I was thinking, if you have a whole bunch of ski buddies and you're all bums, $13,000 a year times your ski buddies, now you're talking about going into a share house.
Now, this is an awesome idea, yes. But I also know some of the people that we have skied with, I don't want to be anywhere near their fecal matter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to burn.
Well, if you have to go donate it at the place, then it's good. I don't even want to be near you, you know.
So there's no way to, like, freeze it up and send it?
So I was telling Brian, it's like...
The FedEx guy's like, what the hell, man?
He just starts sending them poops. just like, in a bag with a nice little note. Here's my thing. I'm donating it.
Get some really fancy stationery and, like, spray perfume on it, you know, and nice handwritten note.
Dear Brian, please stop sending your stuff. You do not want these deliveries.
Just giant garbage bags full of poop.
Man. This ain't...
I'm just trying to help. I'm just trying to help find a cure.
So you're talking 5 days a week, $250 per week, $13,000 a year.
That's righteous bucks.
Can you go 7 days a week? Because that's bumping that up, man.
Yeah.
You're talking about an actual living.
Can you go under like a different alias?
Oh, go to donation?
Yeah.
Well, if you live right near there, can you do two donations in a day?
Possibly. Depends right? How much Chipotle you have.
You just heavy diet of... You know, just
Chipotle. And then all the money you're making, you can either put towards your Chipotle as well.
That's right. You could be like Jared. I ate Chipotle for like three. Oh, there's that guy. I wonder if he's still doing the Chipotle.
Oh, probably. Why would he stop now?
Unless he got E. coli.
Got E. coli.
I'm just saying.
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a rough. So there's that story about those people that are protesting, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, some people are mad at Chipotle for some reason. I think it was because of some of their whole like GMO. They're like, they don't have any GMOs in there, and people were saying it was dishonest because they actually did.
Oh, they're using it as a marketing campaign.
Yeah.
But I'm like, why would you go after them? At least it's better than some of these other places that are just knowingly serving you garbage and you eating it.
Yeah, I think part of it is their intention. You know, like Taco Bell is not trying to be this healthy, non-GMO restaurant. They're just like, yeah, we're gonna make you fat and you're gonna crap yourself.
It's bad for you, but we're still gonna.
It's funny that the group that put it out, this anti-Chipotle advocacy group, they put an ad in the Daily News? Oh, the New York Post, and it said you can't spell Chipotle without E. coli.
Wow.
Which is actually technically true, which is kind of funny.
All right, so there's a guy who ate Chipotle for 153 days straight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's still going, but that's a lot of Chipotle.
Yeah. Well, this E. coli scare, they've actually closed 43 locations promising additional deep cleaning and sanitization at restaurants in the affected areas.
Now, what are the infected areas? Like, I want to know. Am I going to Chipotle anywhere here? Or?
No, I think they're in Oregon.
Oh.
Near Portland. Apparently, these hipster mustaches do contain fecal matter, which may have dripped into the Chipotle.
Fecal matter?
Oregon and Washington, yeah.
I would imagine by the donation sites, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think you could donate if you have E. coli.
Yeah. Yeah, that... The advocacy group that put that out there, they have a whole thing about, like, chubby Chipotle, how they're saying that it makes you, you know, they're actually way more high calorie. Chipotle specializes in deceptive, feel-good marketing, GMO-free, antibiotic-free, organic, etc. But what really matters is if your high-calorie burrito will make you feel sick to your stomach. So are they attacking it because it's high calorie, or are they attacking it because of the E. coli?
That's your choice in eating that big-ass burrito. You get a salad from there. You get whatever you want.
You get the burrito bowl and go no rice, and it's really not that bad. It's just, yeah.
That's like, you know, saying the Twinkie people should be shut down because...
Nobody wants to have their own responsibility. It's always somebody else's fault.
Nobody's force-fed me. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So.
That's true.
Unless you're force-feeding people, you kind of have to be responsible.
Damn it. Now I want a burrito, and Chipotle just closed 4 minutes ago.
Damn you.
Damn you. Why can't you be open later?
You know what I really want is taco truck. God damn it.
Ooh, taco truck.
We were right near there yesterday.
We're talking all about fecal matter, and we just are hungry as hell right now. That's kind of funny, isn't it?
We started talking about Chipotle.
Bunch of maniacs. So I guess that wraps it up for the week, huh?
That's a wrap.
That was a lot of around the horn.
Yeah.
We had some good stories, though. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. I think we had some good stuff. Hopefully you guys agree. So, yeah, hit us up on...
If anybody is donating to the fecal thing, let us know.
Yeah, let us know how it goes, any of these stories.
And I want to know, on Facebook, I actually started... I made a comment. I want to find out what cake balls people like.
Yeah. So, yeah, go to the website, SkiBumPodcast.com, and there you can find out our links to everything, or you can email us, SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up, /SkiBumPodcast on Facebook, or @SkiBumPodcast on Twitter. So thank you guys so much for listening. We hope to hear from you soon, and we will talk to you next week.
Stay high, stay flutin'.
See ya.